This is the Voice of America's worldwide coverage of the flight of Apollo 17, man's sixth and final moon landing in the Apollo program. The 13-day mission to the Taurus Mitchell region of the moon and back will be carried out by astronauts Eugene Cernan, mission commander, Ronald Evans, command module pilot, and Harrison Jack Smith, lunar module pilot. Liftoff, the first night launch in the Apollo series, is scheduled for 2 hours 53 GMT. For the description of the Apollo 17 blast off, we take you to Cape Kennedy and VOA space correspondent Rex Turner.
Now 21 minutes 58 seconds. We're watching a giant countdown clock here in the night of Cape Kennedy, the only night launch of all of the Apollo series, and that spectacular rocket standing on its pad, bathed in brilliant night light, is an unusually spectacular sight indeed. That's the word of the hour, because it's just unbelievable, the majesty of this world's greatest rocket, standing there on pad 19, ready to lift into the sky, three precious astronauts, three lives, on the way to the moon for America's last lunar exploration in the foreseeable future. It'll be at least 10 years, maybe 15 or 20, before the United States goes back to the moon, possibly to continue the exploration of that planet and learning how our own came to be since creation. 10 minutes, 29 seconds until liftoff. Let's go to launch control and Chuck Hollingshead, which might be going on conversations which they don't need at that time. Countdown proceeding smoothly. T-minus 10 minutes, 15 seconds and counting. This is Kennedy launch control. Let me report to you what he was giving us there. He said there are a number of system checks and communications checks going on throughout the main spaceflight network. After the rocket lifts off from here, it will be tracked from here at Cape Kennedy by a big dish for a time. Then it goes out over the ocean. And I believe Canary Islands is still involved during the orbital part of the tracking mode when the spacecraft is orbiting the Earth. Once it goes toward the moon, those three big 85-foot dishes at Goldstone, California, Madrid, Spain, and Honeysuckle Creek, Australia will be on board for tracking this Apollo flight as all the others. And all of that network around the world, communications and tracking network, is going through a last-minute check. Now, all of the systems on board the rocket are hardwired right now, meaning they're connected by wiring right back into the launch control, just to our left, about 100 meters from us. And that's where we are, outdoors, on top of a small sand mound, which is called the press site. There's some 1,000 or more members of the press from all over the world here. The American television networks are transmitting. The EBU, European Broadcast Union, is transmitting to all Western Europe. We understand that signal is available into the East European countries also. Japan usually picks up just via television to the west of the United States and the Far East. And there are many television cameras and many eyes, as well as ears, around the world glued to this spot. They named the command module America and the lunar module Challenger, in case you haven't heard that. The whole great Saturn V rocket complex stretches over 100 meters tall out there, 5 kilometers from us, right before us on the sands of Cape Kennedy. The sky is clearing, believe it or not. We can see a number of stars directly overhead, so that bodes well. If that can hold for another 6 minutes, we're going to be able to see this launch for up through staging of the first stage at the very least. And since it'll be a night launch, we possibly can see if the second stage burn out for maybe 10 or 11 minutes. I think the horizon would be our only real limitation in seeing this tonight, because looking out to the east, we can also see stars to the east. So the gods are with us.
The astronauts on the intercom circuit now, reporting and thanking the launch team for all their prayers and all their help.
The searchlights are shining on one puff of cloud, which has drifted over to the north, out of just one little puff of cloud there.
Good luck and Godspeed, reports the launch operations manager over the Astrocom circuit. T-minus 3 minutes 40 seconds, the countdown continuing to go along smoothly. Until we go on the terminal countdown sequencer, the count will be automatic from there on out. countdown sequencer will initiate the various functions from that time on.
Automatic control.
And here in the firing room, we'll be monitoring air controls, watching temperatures, pressures, various things. They could override that terminal sequencer if necessary. Moving up now to the terminal sequencer, T-minus 3 minutes, 10 seconds, and counting. Spacecraft ready, light has come on, indicating that the spacecraft is ready. We are now on the terminal sequencer. Launch sequence has started.
That means it's all automatic for loading
that water. On the pad will begin at the 1 minute mark. Blowing on the flame deflector below the launch vehicle, on the launch pedestal itself, and along the swing arms, which will be coming back at liftoff. Instrument unit ready light has come on. Emergency detection system ready light is on. All indications are we are go for launch as we approach the 2 minute, 30 second mark.
Several of the swing arms are still there.
Various propellant tanks now aboard the space vehicle is starting. F2, our second stage, liquid oxygen tanks now pressurized. These propellant tanks are pressurized with helium to ensure that during the flight, the fuel flows properly down through the engines. It's quiet here in the firing room now as the men are monitoring their consoles, looking at the temperatures, checking pressures, and a variety of parameters to ensure everything is in a go condition.
It looks very quiet.
Pressurization continuing on the fuel tanks at this time. We'll go to the critical power transfer at the T-minus 50-second mark in the countdown. At that time, we'll transfer our external power source to the flight batteries aboard the space vehicle.
Minute and a half to go.
Minute and 35 seconds. By the crew aboard the spacecraft, America will be a final guidance alignment is conducted by the space base commander, Gene Cernan.
That's the navigation.
Apollo 17 will be able to be seen, depending on weather conditions, some 500 miles away as it goes into Earth orbit. Pressurization continuing. Liquid hydrogen tanks now aboard the second stage have been pressurized. Propellants aboard the second stage now pressurized.
1 minute.
And cover aboard the two-ball. This is the two-ball system on top of the launch escape system will be pulled off just shortly before launch.
We'll see flames 10 seconds before liftoff.
Now past the 1 minute mark, and we are going on internal power. Now all systems to internal power. We'll be looking for the engine start sequence at the 8.9 second mark in the countdown. The engines will build up to a thrust of 7.6 million pounds. T-minus 30 seconds. We have a cutoff. We have a cutoff at T-minus 30 seconds.
Cut off. Something in the automatic sequence has stopped the launch.
We'll bring word to you just as soon as we get it. We have a cutoff at T-minus 30 seconds. T-minus 30 seconds and holding. This is Kennedy Launch Control.
There it is. There's a cutoff at 30 seconds. Something in the automatic sequencer caused the countdown to stop. That means that we're at 30 seconds and holding while the flight control analyzes the problem. Now, as to what did occur, the automatic sequencer, the automatic control, was in operation. The automatic sequencer was supposed to pressurize all of the large fuel tanks fully just a few seconds before launch. The third stage, LOX tank, that's the liquid oxygen tank in the third stage, the S4B stage of the Saturn V rocket, was not pressurizing fast enough, according to the way the automatic sequencer was feeding information to it. So the flight controllers saw this pressurization going slowly. They touched on a manual pressurization to make sure the pressure built up properly. It did so, but it didn't do this fast enough to satisfy the automatic monitoring system. So the automatic monitoring system, the terminal sequencer monitoring mechanism, shut down the whole count at T-minus 30 seconds. Now they've completely analyzed it, and they're going back and re-gearing for the count again. This has to be done. The count has to be backed up in order to go through all of this minute, meticulous monitoring again to make sure nothing goes wrong. And again, arming those pyrotechnic devices, which are very much a part of the mechanism.
Mission Director Chet Lee just verified that we are go for launch.
Mark, T-minus 45, engine turn, made that final guidance alignment. That's the last action taken by the crew aboard the space vehicle. Now approaching the half minute mark. Here we come. 33, half minute, T-minus 30 seconds. I'm continuing on now. Continuing on at T-minus 26 second mark, T-minus 25. We'll get a final guidance release at the T-minus 17 second mark. T-minus 17.
Final
problems released.
We expect ignition at 9 seconds. 9, 8, 7.
Ignition sequence. All
engines are
starting.
Engines are burning.
2, 1, 0. We have a lift-off.
There it is. It's lifting off.
Right up the area.
Beautiful.
It is now
in the tower. Kilometers up now. You can hear the astronauts talking to mission control. We can still see it in a beautiful, clear night sky. Going into the stratosphere now.
Maximum dynamic pressure at this point.
Maximum dynamic pressure, that means that the maximum amount of sea forces are pushing the astronauts back into the back of their seats now. Moving over 3,000 feet per second. 1 minute 30 seconds after liftoff. There's some 13,000 meters up, moving some 505 meters per second now. Moving out over toward the east.
Stand by for mode 1, Charlie. Mark, mode 1, Charlie. And the flight dynamics officer says we look good on all sources, right on the...
We're going to be able to see this one farther than we've ever seen a launch before, because it's night and because the sky is clear.
So for staging, we say we look good for staging.
Staging comes. Staging comes at 2 minutes, 43 seconds. About another 20 seconds from now. Center engine cut off.
Inboard engine shutting down on time as planned.
We can still see it. We've never been able to see one this far before.
Maximum G-forces of about 4 Gs.
Our eyes are still blinded from the brilliant flash. As we look up into the stratosphere, we almost have to look. There was second stage ignition. Staging in second stage. It's going. We can see it clearly.
First stage.
Number 5.
Roger, they're looking here. Look good.
It looks like a star in the sky now.
Right.
Moving off out over the Atlantic. And so we brought you the launch of Apollo 17 worldwide on the Voice of America. My thanks to Don Beatty of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration for being with me on this interesting evening. And I must again say thanks to Bob O'Ringle and Lyle Lincoln, our engineers, for a good job, to Ed Hickey, and also to Willie Gutierrez. This is Rick Turner at Cape Kennedy, returning you to Washington.
We come to the close of the first live broadcast in our VOA coverage of the flight of Apollo 17, man's sixth and final moon landing mission in the Apollo series. The spacecraft and its crew, in a delayed but spectacular nighttime launch, the first in the Apollo series, lifted from launch pad 39A at Cape Kennedy at 5 hours 33 GMT, some 2 hours 40 minutes late, and is now in an Earth-parting orbit some 26 minutes into the mission. This is Norm McGarren in the Apollo News Center in Washington.
This
program has come to you from the United States of America.
This is the Voice of America station at the Philippines, bringing to a close this portion of today's broadcast. You are invited to listen throughout the week to the English language transmissions of the Voice of America for late world news, analyses of major developments, music, and a variety of feature programs. For specific information concerning the time and frequencies of these Voice of America English language programs, write to Program Schedules, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., USA. Or write to the United States Information Service Office, nearest you. Now, this is the Voice of America station at the Philippines, concluding this portion of today's broadcast.